June 24th. Jesus says, "Now you understand what I wanted to tell you with those biblical references, and what their connection is with you. You understand why I say that this is your little orb before and after. A sentence that kept your mind occupied for many days, and which, in your ignorance of the Bible, you were unable to explain. You have also understood why I whispered to you yesterday morning that for a long time you have done what my servant and prophet of old did. Because of the effort it cost you to look up the passage referring to you, you will not forget the episode. When Father obeyed an inspiration of mine, for everything which is good for souls is accomplished by my inspiration, and brought you a Bible, so you could familiarize yourself with it, I could also have told you where to find the passage I was referring to. But it would have been too easy. I wanted you to find it by yourself to convince you more and more that this is not a deceit, but the truth. You are so suspicious. I have had to lead you slowly, very slowly, to the point you are at now, because you were obstinate, out of fear, like a balky kid. That's why I responded to your prayer yesterday by saying those words. Don't you think it will happen like that? Yes, to strike me men are courageous. But to come to my side, attracted by my love they are not. They blindly believe in evil and in the prince of evil. They follow him without fear, as soon as he manifests himself in one of his ceaseless forms with limitless names. But they do not believe or believe very poorly in good, and in the God of good, and flee before his manifestations. They are covered with sins and imitate Adam, when he hid himself from the Creator after having sinned in Eden. In order not to be afraid of my voice, and my face, one soul must be free from serious sins. Imperfections still allow that minimum of courage to subsist in you which lets us hear my word without fainting. If to merit it, you had had to be without imperfections, no mortal would have heard it, except for my mother. Do you see? You first had to undergo a real work of reconstruction, and spiritual healing performed by me, and assisted by you, to be able to come to merit, and endure my word in the sight of me. This is logical. Sin, even when venial, means kinship with the devil. Where the devil is, God cannot be. I could terrorize sinners with a tremendous apparition in which the irate God who judges and punishes appeared. And I have sometimes done so, to conquer individual hearts which I truly wanted for myself, and which I could master only by that means. But those are rare cases. I prefer to attract with love. And love is not felt by someone with a blameworthy love with the devil. That's why I do not show my face, which is all love, to the throngs. I reserve it for those who love me, giving them the mission of speaking to the deafest, repeating my word, asking them to become little copies of me. Cherry and redemption, the one in love and the victim. For all I will come one day, the last one. But only those whose souls will have been purified in life by love will be able, without collapsing into the abyss, to bear my face, my look, and my voice, whose thunder will shake the firmaments and make the abysses tremble. Now I will explain, you would otherwise understand nothing. 10 days ago, perhaps a bit more, while, half asleep, I was thinking of him, I heard the dear, adored voice saying, "You are on your little orb." Remember, since then I have often heard the sentence being repeated, entirely for me. This is your little orb before and after. No matter how I racked my brains, to squeeze out a historical and geographical light, I found nothing. I wanted to ask you about it, for I had to understand that it was something biblical, like the episode of the 10 just men. But just when I had decided to ask you, you brought me the Bible. Oh, good, I said to myself, now I will find it. And I patiently began to read it, determined to read it from the first word to the last. But, for the time being, I had found nothing. Yesterday morning, after having written the words of Jesus, and described the vision in my own words, I offered this prayer. Oh Jesus, why don't you show everyone how divinely beautiful and divinely good you are? If men saw you, as I see you, they could not fail to understand your infinite goodness, and love you with a love which would make them good. Martha would like you to show your irate face to cause fear. I, however, ask you to show your loving face, to conquer as you have conquered me. And Jesus replied, it would be useless. Love is not understood. If I appeared like that, some would deride me, and some would flee me. Didn't you also do that? For years and years you escaped from me. And yet I always appeared to you under the aspect of love and dreams and inspirations. In other years you were always afraid of my manifestations, and when I approached, you acted like my servant and prophet of old. You hid your face so as not to see me. I had to prepare you with infinite patience, and even now at heart you are a little afraid that this is a deceit. And you have my peace. Consider what those who do not have my peace, but demoniacal war in their hearts would do. After hearing this, I said to myself, here it is absolutely necessary to discover who this servant and prophet is, and what orb is. And last night I devoted myself to a stroll through the Bible. I looked in the prophets. Nothing. I found the name orb, and understood it was a mountain. But that was too little. Forwards and backwards, backwards, and forwards. My head was exploding, I found nothing. The siren came on, and, after praying for those being bombarded, I resumed my raid on the Bible. I found nothing. Of course. I had started, from Joshua, on. I was convinced, in my enormous ignorance, that Moses had nothing to do with it, and I overlooked him. Seeing that I found nothing at all, I asked the Holy Spirit to let me find it. I was determined to know that night, at the price of reaching the morning skimming through the Bible. And the Holy Spirit said to me, "Read Exodus." I found it at once. I was close to it, I was at the end of Genesis, and I was going far off to look. Now I know, and am content. And who would have imagined that Horeb was Sinai? In my asininity I knew that Moses had gone up Sinai and thus said, "Moses has nothing to do with it." That is why Jesus says this is my little Horeb before and after, and I resemble his servant and prophet. Indeed, I have found the voice of God here. Indeed, I ascended it without thinking of God, following a common way, like Moses behind his flock. Indeed, when least expected, I there received the words of Jesus and I covered my face, because I dared not look at him. Now, however, I have learned to look at him. He has accustomed me, and I willingly go back upon Horeb. That is the explanation. Thank you, Father, for having given me the occasion to read the Bible. This will make me less of a silly goosick and I'll understand better. Jesus further states today. Today too, which is the feast of my divine body, Satan has struck me in my churches, and in my sons and daughters. I, the host of peace, do not pass triumphantly through your lands, on carpets of flowers, amid songs of Hosanna. I fall among the ruins, into the hellish din of hatred against charity unleashed in its full force. The flowers of today, Corpus Christi of the time of wrath, are my slain children. And blessed, among them, are those who fall innocently, whose death without rancor, becomes as beautiful as a martyrdom. My blood is not seen amidst the blood of the slain. I remain with my whiteness as a host. It is the blood of the others that splashes me, as it is the cruelty of those subject to the enemy that wounds me, and, with me, wounds those who are hosts like me. From the greatest among you, upright as if on a mystical cross between the temple and the sky and wounded, spat upon, pierced, flagellated, like his lord, by the lie sold to the enemy, to the smallest child with his throat cut, like an innocent lamb. But these hosts are not immolated to no avail. In them there is no stain of hatred. They are the victims. Eternally blessed in being victims. On my dearest children, the true children, my sign remains. I have marked you all, you that love me, and that I love. More than the tiara crowning him, that sign is divinely indicative on the forehead of my current Peter, on the pontiff of peace in whom there is no ferment of hatred. More than any halo, that sign shines on the heads of victims who fall with me under the weapons of Satan, and who are the forerunners of the second coming of Christ. And may the angels of the praying churches that are stricken, worshipping the destroyed hosts, themselves gather in the innocent souls whose weeping will be consoled in heaven. Footnote. See June 3. The siren announcing air attacks during the war. As in the dictation of June 4. Pius XII, Pope from 1939 to 1958.